Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Brad. Yeah, snap into a Slim Jim. Art thou bored?
Art thou bored?
And we are here to do episode 59 for you. 59.
Is it 59?
It is 59.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And we are doing a listener's choice. We gave our listeners a bunch of things to choose from.
Yes, we did.
And they chose this movie.
Yes.
And this movie is?
Mannequin on the Move.
Yeah, well, we all know it as Mannequin 2 on the Move, but it actually is Mannequin on the Move.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how it's titled in the movie and everything. When they made the poster up, they put the 2 on there. Because I just assumed it was on there.
Yeah.
But it's just supposed to be Mannequin, : on the Move.
Those colons get me every time. Yeah. And you were laughing when I said we gave many choices to people.
We did.
And this choice was a clear winner, I would say. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it was pretty clear. So we actually... This is the first time that we've done one between platforms. So we did a poll on
Twitter and Facebook.
So we did both. So it's the first time that we have actually done that. And people took to it pretty well. And some of our friends over under the No Phony Podcast Network were pretty...
Excited
for Mannequin on the Move.
Mannequin 2 on the Move. So
so the choices that we had.
Oh, we're going to go through them.
Yeah. So we had Mannequin on the Move.
Yeah.
We had The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
That's a good one.
Which came in second.
That's good.
American Pie 2, which came in third.
That's fine. Nostalgia for the 90s.
Right. And then Smurfs 2.
Mm-hmm.
In last place.
Which, how many people voted for Smurfs?
Zero.
Okay.
Across both platforms.
We'll keep it on that one. So those were your choices. You chose Mannequin on the Move. I'm calling it Mannequin on the Move.
I am too. I think
that's what it originally wanted to call it. That's what we're going to call it. Some information about this movie. The director of this movie also directed my mom's favorite movie, Ice Pirates.
Is it seriously her favorite
movie,
though?
No, but she loved Robert Urich. She was like, she loved...
Enough to overlook...
No, she loved Spencer for Hire. I was going to say The Equalizer, but that wasn't him. Spencer for Hire. And then he also directed... The movie before this he directed was Mac and Me.
Yep.
Yeah, which I believe that was Paul Rudd's first movie.
Jennifer Aniston was in it.
No, she wasn't. Well, yeah, she was.
She was. She was dancing in the McDonald's parking lot.
That is one of my favorite terrible movies to watch. I'll watch it over and over again. In fact, that movie, at the end of the movie, the whole Mac and Me family drives off into the sunset, and Mac blows a bubble that says, "We'll be back." And they never were.
And they were in a pink Cadillac.
And in this movie,
Hollywood.
We're going to say that a lot during this episode. Hollywood is in a pink Cadillac. It's the same Cadillac from Mac and Me.
Yep.
So there's that information for you.
It's the same.
And then I said that he directed the Philadelphia Experiment, but not the original.
So he goes, he says, and he directed the Philadelphia Experiment. And I
wasn't
went,
that a good movie?
I went, holy shit, he did? Like, right? I was thinking this was...
The original.
Like, what happened to you? Like, you totally went Cuba Gooding Jr. and Snow Dogs.
Oh, this is... He directs terrible.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I was shocked. And then we were looking through it, and I go, wait a minute. What does Philadelphia Experiment 2011 mean? And we're like, oh, it was like a remake that looked terrible.
The only person reprising their role from the original is Meshach Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
The late Meshach Taylor just recently passed away. He plays, of course, Hollywood, like we talked about. But this movie also...
But he also plays dual roles.
Because
he's a chameleon.
The chameleon that everyone can see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's his bucket? From Herman's Head. Herman.
Herman from Herman's Head.
Yeah, Herman from Herman's
William
Head.
Ragsdale.
William Ragsdale. Yeah. Who's a repeat offender.
Correct.
Was in Fright Night 2.
Yep.
You can check that one out. We did that one. And then also Christy Swanson. Before, was this before Buffy? Right before Buffy?
It was before Buffy.
Yeah, it was. But Buffy was 92, wasn't it?
Buffy was 92.
This was 91. So this was her. This was her good years, man.
Well, and
when
she
I mean
was,
good years, I mean terrible.
Well, no, she just came off of Flowers in the Attic before that.
Oh, she wasn't that. Oh,
yeah.
I would not eat cookies with like frosting on them for
like
the
powdered
time.
Sugar or yes. whatever it was. Yeah.
For the longest time after watching that movie.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't either.
But we digress because we've got some bills to pay, right?
Bill pay.
So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Take 429.
Hi, this is Two Girls on a Bench,
the podcast.
And we hooked up with this cool group called No Phony Podcast Network.
The website is nophonynetwork.com, and you can find it on Twitter at @phonyno.
And you can find us everywhere at Two Girls on a Bench.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Travis from the Know Your Draft Podcast, and you are listening to the No Phony Podcast Network. Follow our network and our show on Twitter at @phonyno and at Know Your Draft. Thanks, and enjoy the episode, my friends.
And we're back.
Hollywood, Hollywood. Hollywood right. Montrose.
Oh, so, what were we going to say? You were going to say something else about Mannequin on the Move.
I was not.
I thought you were.
No, I don't think so.
So, should we drop the deuce on this?
I think we should drop the deuce on this.
I'm excited to drop the deuce.
This might be a pretty quick one.
I'm like,
there's this
it's
thing
not
going
to be quick. I will make it not quick. Because we will make this. People need to talk about this movie. This movie is pure brilliance. There's something about the brilliance that is this director that he just loves to throw schlock at us. And it works.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Well, okay, so this movie is very heavy on montage and just, like, slapstick people
not
tiptoeing
like
around.
Not like Teen Wolf 2 heavy on montage, but it's pretty heavy on montage.
Yeah, well, Teen Wolf 2 had, because they had, like, three montages that worked
in
into each other. Yeah, they kept going into one another. We're like, yeah. What are you doing?
There's no Oingo Boingo in this movie.
Which is unfortunate. We have a lot of Starship
you
in this
shut
one.
Up. This is the Citizen Kane of sequels.
Oh, wait a minute. It's not even the Citizen Ruth of sequels.
Oh, God. Ooh, yes. Laura Dern. Oh, I love you. Okay. So why don't we drop the deuce? I think we've wasted enough time.
Oh,
because we're trying to fill some time.
Because I'm dragging my feet to talking.
I know you are.
I really do not have much in the way of notes
and
about
that's
this.
Too bad, because this movie is the Citizen Kane of sequels. I will say it until the cows come home.
Well, you can keep saying it. It doesn't make it true. All right. So we open our...
We open.
Imagine
a Renaissance
Imagine
festival.
A better movie.
Imagine a Renaissance festival.
Imagine the shittiest Ren Fair you've ever been to.
This looked like someone made a commercial and used like Renaissance like characters.
It looks like people are dressed up in medieval costumes that you can buy it or you can rent at any costume closet, and they are riding in front of what appears to be like not even like foreign. They're like New England farmhouses.
Yeah. It's pretty terrible. So we set in medieval times, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so
we don't even know.
It's 1,000 years
ago. It's 1,000 years ago from 1991.
Yeah.
And
so it's 991.
Sure.
I don't even know if that doesn't even seem right.
That none of this seems
none right. of it seems right.
Go with it, folks.
So we come across the fair Prince William, played by
William Ragsdale.
Williams Ragsdale.
The wonderful William Ragsdale. William Ragsdale.
Yes.
Get those four people out of his mind. Get him out of his mind, Herman.
If he had people talking in his head, this would be more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think he did have people talking in his mind in this movie.
Did he?
Yeah. They were all like, why the hell are you in this movie?
What have you done, William Ragsdale?
Of course, William Ragsdale, the original is they're not the same character, but basically he's playing the Andrew McCarthy character.
Yeah, in a way.
Less drunk. Because I'm sure Andrew McCarthy was pretty drunk by then.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and in the original one, for those who haven't seen it in a long time, it had Kim Cattrall as the mannequin.
And if you haven't seen it in a long time, kudos.
Good for you.
Good for you.
I had to call up what was happening in that first one. I was like, how did the first one go down? Well, she was an Egyptian queen or
an Egyptian
princess.
Queen,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
And she was frozen with that, but she would only wake up at night and to the one guy.
You know who was also an Egyptian queen? Meshach Taylor in the movie. I'm glad we're doing this during Pride Month, by the way.
Yeah.
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 Good. But
but she was an Egyptian queen or whatever. She would only wake up for the one person, and she would help him decorate the window dressing, which is what got them on the map. And then eventually, she comes to life in front of everybody.
Right.
And they get married in the end. And Meshach Taylor.
Was this also like a kid show with the guy that like.
Today's special?
Today's special?
Today's special. Now he was brought to life by a magic hat, which was imbued with power by a rhyming mouse.
Yes.
I'm going to blah, 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 blah.
We were talking more about other things than the movie.
Oh, God. Well, you know, we're just going in order of interestingness.
Yeah. Remember Pinwheel?
I remember one of, the puppet twins or whatever they were. They had these giant jelly beans.
You were really talking about Pinwheel.
Yeah,
right
they had
now.
Giant jelly beans. And I remember I wanted a giant jelly bean so bad. Now I don't even think I could do that.
And I told you that the prequel to that TV show Eureka is Eureka's Castle. Go ahead. Where are we? We're in the medieval times, even though it's not.
So in the medieval times, Jim Carrey is going after Matthew Broderick and the cable guy. Anyway.
Cable guy.
It would look more interesting if they were at a medieval times restaurant.
Yeah,
but they aren't.
So, they want to get married or something.
Well, so Prince William, you see him running, or he's on his horse. He's riding along. He's being chased by a bunch of guards.
Right.
Chasing him through this pastoral countryside kind of scene. He is running. We don't know what's going on yet, but he goes to this farm where he meets up with his true love. Her name is Jessie,
which is a fantastic medieval name. Which is a very medieval name, Jessie.
Yeah, Jessie.
Yeah.
She's a peasant girl, played by Christy Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
But his mother, who is the evil queen, doesn't approve.
She's like a character actress. I swear I've seen her in things. Like, she shows up in television.
Yeah, Cynthia Harris?
Yeah.
She is. She's a character actress that's been in many different things.
Yeah.
So, William's running along, and she's mad about you.
Yes. Oh, she's Paul Buckman, the mom.
Yeah, she's Paul's mom. Yeah. Yeah. So he runs and he finds her and he says, look, let's just go. Let's get out of here. Let's get married. Forget about all this. And, you know, we'll put it aside. We'll go. And she's like, well, you're going to be throwing away your life. And he's like, I won't be because I'm with you.
I'm not going to waste my shot.
Yeah. I'm not going to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they go to take off, and they right away, and there's this whole bit of work with, like, there's a kid at a window. I think it's, like, her little sister or something, looking, like, shocked or, like, keeps making faces. I don't know why we focus on it so much.
Because of the artistic quality of it, Jeremy.
I don't know if artistic is the word I would assign to it.
I would call it brilliance, then.
Okay. Sure. Somebody has to, statistically, I suppose. As they try to escape, they get ambushed by guards. The guards surround them and have them trapped on a bridge.
You remember Wild and Crazy Kids?
Oh, yeah. With Omar Gooding?
Just doing Omar Gooding. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding. Sorry.
Why wasn't he in Snow Dogs?
Sorry if we're pretty manic kin. Like, I was trying to do, like, a manic joke with mannequin, because we're all over the place.
If they were manic family members, would they be manic kin?
And would they be on the move?
Yes.
Okay, we haven't even gotten to
the... We had a cocktail for the last episode. This week I'm going to introduce another one that I'm just going to make up. It's called the Martini Kin on the Move, and it's like a martini, but with X-lax in it. Get you moving.
Because this is shit?
Yeah, it works out. It pans out well. But it gets you moving.
Right, it does. We haven't even got to the villain.
Oh, God, I don't want to. Okay, anyway.
Come on.
So, they're trapped on this bridge.
Let's do a podcast, you said. Let's do a podcast about sequels, you said.
Wait.
Let's do a reader or listener's choice.
I did this one?
Okay, yeah.
So they are on the bridge, and the queen rides up with everybody. Oh, no, first, the guards stop them.
Yeah.
And there's one guard who comes up who has horns on his helmet.
Yes.
And he's like...
Very medieval.
He's like, by order of the queen, you'll stop, and, you'll surrender that peasant girl. And the prince tries to get away from it. He goes, sorry, you don't override the queen. And he was like, just try and take her. And he pulls out his sword. And so the guard takes a step forward. And the prince, Prince William, hacks twice and cuts his horns on both sides of his helmet.
Oh, that's right.
And so they both kind of fall down, and they're just like swinging there.
Let me tell you.
Very
the brilliance
cartoonish.
About that. It was more symbolic to the failure of this movie.
Get my beer cans ready.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Where are you broadcasting from? The junkyard of Fred Sanford? What was that? What are you doing over there?
It's a can. I forgot it was there.
Okay.
So, at this point, the guy... Okay, the weirdest thing, so they've been speaking this whole time in this kind of like...
Unfortunately, they have.
They're like, very, oh, verily, fair maiden, we fair will maiden. Do this and this. So they're like speaking with these like...
Very bad Renaissance.
These like, yeah, very, very bad Renaissance things, but they're not even trying like different accents. This place is called, they're from a country called...
Say it.
Hauptmann Koenig.
Yeah, which also is a law firm here.
Hauptmann Koenig.
Oh, yeah.
Hauptmann O'Brien, Wolfen, whatever.
Lathrop.
Lathrop. So, they basically are from this German-style country.
Local joke.
What?
That was our local joke.
Your local joke for the day is...
Hauptmann O'Brien, Wolfen, Lathrop.
So yeah, they're in this like German country. They're speaking
even got
this,
to, like,
this Renaissance speech,
okay,
with total American accents.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so the guy goes, you know, stop on the order of the queen, and just actually has this, you know, this demanding Renaissance sounding way he says something. He gets his horns chopped and he's like, this guy means business. hey, buddy, we're just here doing our job, okay?
Okay.
And just starts, totally drops any pretext. Like, he's not even doing the Renaissance thing anymore. Mm-hmm. The only people who are doing it are Jesse and Prince William.
Yeah.
Everybody else from this point on just talks like they're in some California pizza kitchen. And so the queen rides up, and she's like, just leave that girl behind. And she's got a total New York accent. Just leave this girl behind. I'm trying to get her to go. She's a peasant. She's not one of us. You know, you shouldn't be with her. I'll find you a nice girl. And he says he doesn't want that. He just wants to make her his bride. And so the sorcerer shows up. He's just called Sorcerer.
Right. At this point, yeah. He's called Sorcerer.
So it is...
played by...
Terry Kaiser.
Who we all know... Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
And Weekend at Bernie's too.
Yes.
Yes. He shows up and he brings up, and he, of course, he's just like, I'll take care of this. Don't worry about
it.
Did you
say Weekend at Bernie's too?
Yeah.
That would be our future listener's choice winner.
Yeah. We'll see.
Oh, we will see.
We'll see. Smurfs 2 might be in the running again.
Okay, just going to tweet politics for dummies. Okay.
No. Don't do it. J. Ray gets what he wants. and he wanted this movie bad.
He did.
He had a whole campaign around it.
Yes. And I don't feel like we're delivering for him.
He gets what he paid for.
So are we in the future time now? Is it 1991 yet?
Not even close.
Oh, Jesus.
We wanted to talk about this. So the sorcerer brings up this necklace that Prince William wants to give to Jesse, his lady love. And so they bring up this necklace, and it looks like two snakes with like just different colored marbles stuck into it, and it clasps in the back like with string and macaroni. It looks like garbage. So, the sorcerer brings the necklace to him and is like, "Of course, my prince, you can have this. See, look, it's all good. We're all fine." And so he gives him the necklace. He puts it on Jessie, and she turns into a mannequin. And apparently, there's a curse that says that she will be.
In this movie.
Yes. She will be in this form for 1,000 years or until she finds true love in a foreign land. Those are the only ways. She,
everything's a loophole.
Yeah. And so they say, well, why have you done this? Don't you know you've also cursed your own kingdom? Which I guess. Yeah. And it starts raining. Now we flash forward to 1,000 years.
So she's trapped like that. Okay.
Yeah. So we flash forward to 1,000 years.
Yes.
Down the road.
We're in Philadelphia.
No. We are in Hauptmann Koenig 1,000 years from then.
Oh, fuck.
I know. It's exciting. So we show up, and the enchanted princess or enchanted maiden is like a national icon.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And you see her, and there's like somebody telling the story about her.
Yeah.
Well, none of us actually believes that. Well, when did your people start getting these German accents? Like suddenly they have this?
Just go with it. Go with it.
So apparently
I did.
Hauptmann Koenig has been
for years.
Hauptmann Koenig, it's been raining for 1,000 years. So they were like, let's take you to the Hall of Umbrellas, so you can see how umbrellas have been developed over time here. Or like the Hall of Galoshes, that kind of stuff. While they're taking the tour, this sleazy looking socialite kind of comes up here. And again, it is... Bernie. It's Terry Kaiser again.
Terry Kaiser playing another role.
Count Spretzel.
Count Spretzel.
Yeah. So Count Spretzel looks obviously just like the sorcerer. Except he's got weird goatee and he has a mole.
That has a hair.
That has like long hair coming out of it that hangs down like to his chest. Yeah. And he always strokes it.
Yeah, whatever.
But he's talking about how the sorcerer was his great, 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 so on and so forth. Like, you know, the dumb joke. Grandfather or uncle or whatever it was. And he said that the descendants had to be ready for the maiden. So the plan was to be there when she comes to life. And then take the necklace to Bermuda and sell it
and be rich. I didn't know that's why he was going to Bermuda.
Yeah.
There was a lot of this movie I wasn't paying attention to.
It's fair.
Do you know why? Because I think you said it when we were watching it last night. This movie's like Kansas. It's very flat, and I don't really pay attention to most of it.
Yeah. It's
and I don't remember it. And so, I just watched it.
So we've watched plenty of movies, especially like, I think we're always like, oh, this one's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
But it feels fine. This movie is only, I think it's like a little 90? Less than 90 minutes long.
It feels like it's 7 hours long.
But because it feels like we were like, it's done, right? And we were like at the midpoint. Like it seriously took, it felt like it took forever to get through 50 minutes of it.
Okay.
And so it's like Kansas.
So let's pump it up a little bit. Let's.
So we're in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yes. So go,
oh, Philadelphia. Go. Oh, no, my glass.
Your glasses bring you to life when they come on and off?
Oh, yeah, they do, but I put them on. There we go.
But they're still touching you, so it's okay.
Yeah, they're still touching me, so okay.
So, 1,000 years later. We see Jason Williamson, who looks just like Prince William.
William Ragsdale.
William Ragsdale again.
Yes.
He's like, oh, it's time for my first day of work. And like, his mom is wishing him the best. He lives at home with his mom.
Catch. He's a catch.
And,
he is a catch, folks. Yeah. He lives with his mom. So that means he's sensitive.
Yep. And she runs a dating service, yet he's still single.
Which means he's sensitive.
Yeah. And so she, you know, wishes him well. Oh, it's the same. She's also played with the same lady who did the queen. So they head out. He's heading off to work. And we get this weird, again, a montage of him like pouring cereal in his mouth, taking a drink of milk and, you know.
Yeah.
Chewing it in his mouth and then, like, putting on his tie while he's driving and doing all these crazy things while he's driving. And we get the idea.
Taking his steering wheel off.
Well, he's driving into Philadelphia. When he gets to...
Wait, where did he live? Did he live in West Philadelphia?
He lives outside of Philadelphia. He said it earlier. He said it later in the movie.
Did he drive through West Philadelphia, born and raised?
No, he drove through East Philadelphia.
Okay, I wanted to do a joke, but thanks.
No problem. I know what you're getting at.
I know.
I just couldn't do it.
I know. It's okay.
He might have driven through West Philadelphia. So he gets to Prince and Company. So it's a department store.
Prince and Company.
Right. Which is the same company from the first one.
Right.
And
is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they'd come to some notoriety for their displays that both, Andrew McCarthy and Hollywood Montrose put together.
Right.
Hollywood.
But obviously he's married to the, you know, mannequin. So
So Hollywood has kept on top of it,
right?
Well, we get to the department store, And of course, it's William Ragsdale, like you were saying, he takes a steering wheel off his Jeep so nobody takes it. He goes in and he meets the security guard, Andy.
Yes.
Who says nothing gets by him, although he's completely missed everything.
He's a typical dork in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, they have all these peripheral characters that don't work.
Not really.
They have Andy, who he's like the goofy security guard who says nothing gets by him, but obviously everything does.
Yes. Who failed his mace?
His mace test.
His mace test, but he didn't know you needed a test for that. So he uses hairspray now. So yeah. Instead, but he passed his Aquanet test.
Yes, he did. He got that one.
But not his mace test, whatever that means. Maybe it's like all the information about Mace Windu.
Oh, I was going to make a Mace Windu joke too. Damn it.
That's what you get for taking away my DJ Jazzy Jeff from the Fresh Prince joke.
Damn. The savage. And then there's like, what's her name? Gail?
Yeah, the perfume girl.
Yeah, who's like the perfume girl who once William.
Like these people, these are throwaway characters, okay? Security guard's in love with perfume girl, right?
Yeah.
Perfume girl's in love with William Ragsdale.
With Jason, yeah.
On the first day.
On the first day. And so, yeah, it's just awkward and pointless. We finally run into, though, such a weird character, Mr. James.
Right.
Played by Stuart Pankin.
Yeah, you've seen him in tons of things.
Yeah, who was the voice of Earl Sinclair in Dinosaurs.
He was the voice of Earl Sinclair in Dinosaurs.
That's my favorite thing he was.
Wow, that was Earl Sinclair. It was Earl Sinclair. Now that I hear it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I love him. But he's the like stuffy boss who has kind of a bad streak.
Like, he's not really that funny in this. But I'll tell you what, as Earl Sinclair the Dinosaur, he's kind of underrated a little bit in his like voice work.
I think they really wasted him in this.
Yeah.
Because the bits he was doing are funny. I think they'd be funnier if they were in a different movie.
Yeah. Well, I also thought, like, I think they were writing this on the fly, and they're like, he's going to be also a villain. And then he wasn't a villain.
Yeah, and then they kept changing what they were going to do with him.
Right.
So Mr. James, when it starts out, he's there and he's got two people who are very dressed very similarly to him.
Yeah,
like little assistants who have notebooks.
Yeah, I didn't care for these characters.
No, nor did I. It didn't work out very well.
Can we just not talk about them?
No, no, we're talking about them. And eventually they disappear altogether.
Except
they come back for one gag, and then they're gone.
I didn't even know the gag. Did they have a gag?
Yeah.
Was their thing is to write down everything he said?
Yeah.
It was the stupidest gag ever. That's why I don't want to talk about it.
Well, okay, so, and I'll get to that piece. But, so, he basically repeats almost like, you know, a stitch in time saves nines. Like these, like, little proverbs. And they write them down in their notebook as they repeat them.
Right.
A stitch in time saves nine.
Like, they're the greatest. Like when the director was all like, move to the right. And people were like, oh, God, he's brilliant.
Yeah, move to the right. Yes.
He directed Mac and Me.
Yeah.
I think it was brilliant.
Yeah, so they're kind of like his toadies. So Jason comes up and he's like, hey, Mr. James. And he goes, not now.
Jesus.
Because there was a guy who had broken a mannequin. And he's like, oh, my God. And, like, goes out there and runs and grabs the parts of it. I don't know how he broke the mannequin that badly, but there it was.
So then he gets fired.
So he's like, oh, of course, it was a simple mistake. You know, you do this and this. And, like, had this whole where he treats him so nicely and then fires the guy.
Right.
Which, you know, destroying company property, I mean, is what it is. So he fires this kid while, like, and he keeps telling Jason, wait, Mr. James, and keeps interrupting him. I'm like, oh, my God, what is wrong with you? Like, you can't wait 2 minutes to speak with this man?
Every time he said Mr. James, I kept thinking of
News radio. Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Mr. James.
They're probably related.
Yeah.
So, but he fires the guy, and then he... Jason says, "Oh, I'm supposed to report to you." He says, "Well, we've just had an opening in Mr. Montrose's department."
Hollywood Montrose.
Hollywood Montrose.
What a great name.
Hollywood.
Then his name is Hollywood Montrose.
Yeah, right.
That has to be, like, his mom gave him that name. Please.
Oh, sure.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Mrs. Montrose, what should we name your kid? Hollywood. Okay.
Hollywood.
You know.
Yeah. Hollywood. Yes.
Go ahead.
So, he goes and meets Hollywood. And Hollywood is, he's all over the place. He's got all these people dancing and, like, trying out dance moves.
Why?
And he's like, "I need to see cheekbones, people, cheekbones." And he's like getting them to suck in their cheeks so he can see their cheekbones. And like, it's just very bizarre what
he's
doing.
Can we pause for a second? First of all, a few minutes ago, I made a Toadies reference. Thank you for laughing.
Yeah.
And second of all, his glasses in this scene were amazing.
I know, right? So his glasses. Now, Hollywood in the first one wore all sorts of crazy sunglasses. Their sunglass budget was not so great for this one.
it was a cut above.
Yeah, but it was a cut above. He had this one pair of sunglasses. They were scissors.
Yes.
But the eye holes were like the finger holes of the scissors. Like, that's where the sunglasses were.
So they were kind of lesbian sunglasses.
And they had scissors sticking up on his forehead.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were amazing. That's all.
They were amazing.
So he's teaching them to dance for this performance.
He's trying to get a presentation together because the Prince Company, they are going to host an event. They're bringing this, the peasant girl is doing this kind of like world tour where she's going to go around and they're going to feature places. So they're going to have her at Prince and Company. They're going to do kind of a like German, you know, like village kind of aesthetic.
They're going to pay homage to this tradition that they have. And they need the girl there with the necklace.
Yes. So they're talking about that it's going to be there. You know, they're going through all of this. And so, you know, they have this big presentation. Basically, they have to make sure it goes off without a hitch.
Right. Unlike this movie.
Correct. And so, of course, Mr. James is like, "There better not be any weirdness." No, of course there's not. You know, and Hollywood's telling him, "No, it's going to be great."
Yeah.
But of course, he's going to do weirdness. He's Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Yeah, so he gets a call.
Snappy comment. Sassy.
Correct. he gets a call, and apparently the truck that's carrying the maiden, or the princess, or whatever, the enchanted maiden.
No, what was this all about? Yeah, the truck.
Yeah.
It
gets in an accident.
Off a...
Well, okay, so the guys, it said to keep right, so they, like, drove off the side of the bridge almost, and so it's falling, the trailer's falling, and the guys inside will not get out of it, even though it's going to fall into the river, because they have to stay with, they're like, "We have to stay with the enchanted maiden, she's our person, or the peasant girl, this is our tradition, I have to stay with it," and so they want to stay with her. Well, the cops keep saying, "You gotta get out of there," and like, you know, shaking and hyper, you know, overacting. And they refuse to abandon ship.
Yeah, because they love overacting. The director said, "Do it, overact."
So then,
are you questioning me? I'm the award-winning director of Mac and Me.
Oof.
And what Razzie. I mean, award-winning? Razzie.
Razzies? Yeah, totally.
Probably.
Was it good enough for a Razzie?
I don't even think it was good enough for a Razzie.
Hollywood and Jason pull up in the pink Cadillac.
Yes.
And which, of course, Hollywood drives.
Yes. Well, yeah. That, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Although it smelled like Mac and Me.
Mac and cheese. Do you smell Mac and cheese in here?
Do you smell like when they drove off? Like the end of Mac and Me. They like that sun was so bright that they spontaneous combusted. Oh. So it's mac and cheese.
Oh no!
It turned into
that's the sequel.
That's what they. That's what it smells like. And so he got it. Like Hollywood got it.
Got it cheap because it just smells like burnt foam rubber burnt, alien.
Burnt aliens.
The kid in the wheelchair is squeaking around. Have you seen my friend Mac? I was rolling down the hill at McDonald's. And so they see the truck, and of course Hollywood is just like squealing because he's so like upset. And you see a woman fall into the water. So Jason runs off, dives in after her. And as she's sinking, he's swimming down, and he grabs her, and he can see her. He pulls her up to the surface and then realizes she's a mannequin.
Yeah, but so he swears that she was...
Yeah, he swears she was real.
She was real.
And as they're driving, and he's holding her...
And the reason why he thought that she was real is because Jason lives with his mom.
Yeah.
So he hasn't really known what a real woman looks like for a long time.
Or maybe he's just familiar with Christy Swanson's acting. Can't tell the difference. And so they are driving back. And at one point she kind of like turns real and then turns right back.
He touches the necklace.
Yeah. And so she sees him. You know, she's kind of snapping out of it. But they get back to the mall. Or to the department store. In the meantime, those Hopman Koenig guys have all gone in the water too. They realize somebody got the peasant girl. And so now they're chasing, trying to figure out where she went. So they're just running down the street. And they're like, we need to stop these cars.
Oh, God, this scene. I totally forgot about this scene.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm not going to let you forget
that. We need to stop these cars. What should we do? So they strip down.
Yeah, so one guy goes, I know what we will do. And so he starts taking off not just his shirt. So he takes off his shirt, and he's muscly. The guy's ripped. Takes off his shirt. And then they all start doing that, too. But then he takes off his pants. And so he's like in... he's in his boxers, and all three of them are just, like, dancing around.
They're, like, dancing, and they're, like, they see a garbage truck.
Yeah.
Now, normally, and I'm not being sexist here, but normally garbage trucks are filled with men working.
Yeah.
This one just happens to have two females.
Yes.
Working.
Now, one of the women looks like Frohickey from The Lone Gunman from the X-Files.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or Geddy Lee.
Yes.
Yeah. And
she sounds like Geddy Lee, too.
Yeah. And she was like, whoa. And then the other lady's like, let's stop and pick them up.
Oh, yes. Ooh.
And so they put down the dumpster front piece for their truck.
What role reversal happened here?
Yeah. So they put, it's so weird. So they put down the dumpster, and the guys are diving. And, like, there's really, it goes on for probably, like, 2 minutes where they're like, whoa. And the guys are dancing around. Yeah. It keeps going back. It comes down. They climb into the dumpster part of it. And then they drive off. And then they, like, raise the thing and, like, dump them into the crusher part of the truck.
You know, that's perfect. So we're back in the department store.
Yeah. And so Jason is working in the back. He's trying to get some of the other mannequins ready.
Yeah.
And he takes the necklace off of the maiden. And while he's working, she comes to life.
Can I mention this? He's talking to himself a lot.
He is talking to himself a lot.
No one is around, and you're like, oh, I'll just move this over here. Because normally when I work alone, I talk to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Hollywood told me to put that right there.
Yeah.
No, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And so then he's talking, and he's like, well, and then he makes out with the mannequin, too.
Correct.
Like, he kisses the mannequin.
Yeah, right? He does.
And then...
He was like, it's weird. He's like, I don't know why. Like,
I turned to you. I said, first day on the job, and you're already kissing mannequins.
You're correct. You did.
This is all on his first day.
Yeah. Not first even. Day. It's like It's not even lunchtime. Like, this is first couple hours.
Go ahead.
So,
go ahead. This is brilliant. It's massive.
So she comes to life.
Who has the gall to make a movie like this? This director. Who's brilliant.
We'll never be hearing anything else from Steven Spielberg? No. It is not.
I'm going to watch Ice Pirates.
So he, of course, is taken back, and he's trying to convince her what's going on. She actually believes he's Prince William because they obviously are the spitting image,
and he says, I'm not Prince William, I'm Prince
Harry. Except for those Renaissance accents.
I'm not Prince William, I'm Prince Harry.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
So he ends up convincing her, without much effort, that 1,000 years have passed.
Yeah. There's no effort. Like, they just fall into this routine very quickly. Yeah. Oh, I guess you're a mannequin that came to life. Oh, I guess you're the prince.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you're not the prince. I guess it's 1,000 years later.
Yeah, right?
They just nonchalantly have this conversation.
Yeah, they're very, you know,
I mean, we don't really need to get into it. They really are okay. So they just build the relationship up right there. And he takes her out, right?
Yeah.
Well, onto the town?
Well, before that, so the muscle boys show up.
Oh, yeah.
And they, of course, smell like garbage in their whatever uniforms they have on, which they have their clothes back, so somehow.
It's true.
They smell like garbage. When they get to the department store, of course, they change into,
should they
like,
be on I-80 with the rest of their clothes, whatever?
Yeah. They change into these, like, spandex, like, booty shorts and, like, like weird eight, like early 90s shredded like muscle lift, boy like, lifting shirts.
Like bodybuilder lifters.
Yeah, it's weird. And they're all wearing like those rolled up like headbands that were just like a piece of rope that went around your head.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, they look like a fighting video game like player.
Kind of.
The Double Fantasy, what are those called?
Double Dragon,
sorry, yeah. Final Fantasy. I don't know what I'm talking about. I probably shouldn't talk about video games because I know shit about video games. So,
it's
you right. know, the Double Fantasy
it's all right.
Mario thing.
You'll be all right. Double Fantasy Mario.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it came with Duck Hunt.
So the Burger Boys decide they're gonna call. They have to call Count Spretzel.
Yes,
to come in here. In the meantime, I think Hollywood, like, she pretends to be a mannequin again, so that nobody knows it's her.
Yeah,
and like the Burger Boys are like, oh, she's safe, because they find her. Oh, she's safe. It's okay. And so they don't realize she's real because Christy Swanson can become, you know, plastic and wooden at any moment's notice.
Yeah.
And so she freezes and they're...
No, I mean, you can really say, like, the first movie was basically Splash, but as a mannequin, right?
The first movie is based off of the Pygmalion myth.
Really? But isn't that what Splash is, too?
No.
The movie Splash?
No.
No?
No.
Fish out of water kind of thing?
Well, I mean, that's a literal fish out of water, but Pygmalion's about a statue coming to life.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it was supposed to be based off of that.
I thought that was My Fair Lady. Pygmalion.
I think it's My Fair Lady.
That's the same thing. That's a statue coming to life?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the old myth.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's Pygmalion.
Sure.
Anyway, so... So they decide they're going to go out on the town. And, of course, they leave the necklace behind. And at some point, Hollywood puts on the necklace and becomes a Hollywood statue. Which is, I swear, I would pay any amount of money to have that Hollywood mannequin
in our house. If anyone has that, I want that.
Yes. I would pay, I want a cable I would ace pay award you any that. Amount of money to get that.
Give me a Cable Ace Award and that.
Yeah, a Cable Ace Award and a Hollywood Montrose Man, mannequin.
We want terrible things.
I know, they're wonderful things. Oh,
we are married and it's wonderful.
And so so he turns into that. So they go on the town. And of course, while they're... Oh, no, I'm sorry. He doesn't turn into that yet. He and the others go, and the meathead guys and Mr.
Really
James, they go to the airfield to get Count Shpretzel.
Yeah, to get the Duke.
Who shows up in, like, his crappy airplane.
Right.
And so...
Strokes his weird thing.
Yeah, and they make jokes about his mole, just like everything.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. And he's a dick. The guy's just terrible. Hollywood gets some good digs in to him. I think, like, I love it the one point where he calls him your assholiness.
Yeah.
But yeah, he gets some good digs on him. Jason and her, he's like, well, I'm going to take you out on the town. I'm going to get you some food.
Right. So they're dancing. And then they go, so she learns how to dance.
Well, no, before that, says, they before they leave, he goes, I'm going to get you some food.
Oh, and okay, she goes, Philly cheesesteaks, right?
Yeah, it's the best food you've ever had.
Yeah.
And she goes, better than boiled weasel?
Yes.
Because
that was a the thing back in the day.
Yeah.
In the Renaissance time.
Yes.
Is that you ate boiled weasel.
Yeah. And he goes, you won't know the difference.
No.
So, I don't know which is weirder, that he's like, that she's like, is it better than boiled weasel? Or that he's like, I also know what boiled weasel tastes
like. I'm going to tell you the truth. I would rather have boiled weasel than watch this movie again. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't even know what it tastes like, but I'm going to, you know.
Well, apparently it's better than a little less salty.
Than this movie? Yeah.
Than a Philly cheesesteak.
And the paper. And she ate the paper.
So, that they go out. They get Philly cheesesteaks. And they're eating.
Yeah.
And, of course, she's like, what do you think about it? And she goes, it's a little less salty than the boiled, or it's a little more salty than the boiled weasel.
Right.
And she's like, what is the crunchy part? It is tough to eat. Because that's a paper. You're not supposed to eat it. And she's like, it's okay. And Chrissy Swanson just keeps eating the paper.
She's seriously eating paper, which I think is why she's terrible.
She's getting more wooden every moment because she's just eating more paper.
The paper.
They
go dancing. She teaches them how to dance.
Yeah, so they...
Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or whatever.
Yeah. We get to the club, and we see the doorman there.
Oh, yeah, the doorman.
Is played by also Meshach Taylor.
Not as Hollywood.
No. Just as some guy.
Some guy. So he's yeah, I'll let you in.
Yeah, I'll let you in.
Oh, yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she's hot. No, you would tell your friends to go away.
The reason why that character didn't work for me, besides that we can obviously see it's Meshach Taylor.
Yeah.
And not like where you get like Eddie Murphy playing different characters. It's because he was all like, yeah, she's hot. Like, he had to, like, they had to write that in.
Yeah.
Like, see, he's different. He's not Hollywood. She's hot. Let her in.
Yeah.
No. It's still Meshach Taylor.
Yeah. And he tries really hard, but it still ends up sounding the same.
He's like, that, she looks like Delta Burke. Let her in.
Yeah. So, it's awkward. But then, of course, Jesse's like, we should go inside. And he's like, well, it's a pretty exclusive club. We're not going to get in. And then not Hollywood is just like, oh, you two. Come on in. You can come in and, you know.
Hot.
Yeah. And so he lets them in. Because we're supposed to believe that William Ragsdale is super attractive.
You think they just ran out of money and they're just like, just do it, Meshach?
No.
They really
I think, here's what I think.
Give him the vehicle.
Well, here's what I think. I think that William Ragsdale, Terry Kaiser, Cynthia Harris, I think all these people were like, yeah, we got to play two characters. And Meshach Taylor's like, how come I don't get to play two characters? And was upset about that. And so they were like, do you want to play a second character?
I remember reading all that Hollywood gossip on the set of Mannequin on the Move about how Meshach Taylor was such a diva.
Yeah.
He threw the craft service table around.
Yeah.
Said, how come I can't play two characters?
I can see that.
And that just proves how great of this movie this was. Because everyone wanted to play two different characters.
Yeah. Wanted to or had to.
Or had to. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, they go in the club, he's dancing, and then it's, so they go to Club Hollywood. At Club Hollywood, they have everything. They have enchanted maidens.
Yes.
They have Hollywood Montrose and a dreadlock wig.
Yes.
They have two twin women dressed as Raggedy Ann dancing in the background.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, it was like, it was weird.
Yeah.
So there was just two women dressed like Raggedy Ann.
Yeah.
Had like Raggedy Ann wigs on.
Yeah, it was like, not like one of them was Raggedy Andy. No, they were both like, oh shit.
They weren't
dressed
wearing,
as Raggedy Ann.
They weren't wearing the dress, like, but they were like...
Do you think she was like, Carol, you didn't get my message. I said I was going to dress like Raggedy Ann tonight.
They both had the same wig. And then they were like doing like weird robot dances, but not really the robot. It was just more flailing.
I don't know.
So they're doing these. And and so then Jesse's like, let me teach you a real dance. And she bows to him, and he bows to her, and then they start, like, Renaissance dancing. But all of a sudden, everybody in the club is like, oh, shit, man.
Oh, this
I want to learn some Renaissance dances.
I want some Renaissance music.
And we're not talking, like, was it A Knight's Tale, where it's, like, Renaissance dancing, but to modern music, like, to whatever. All of a sudden... It is just like full-on old-timey Renaissance dance.
Sure.
It is awkward, and it is really slow.
Yes.
And then they dance, they
wait,
slow
wait,
dance with each other.
Could you say that again? It was what?
Awkward.
Okay.
And really slow.
You just talk about the whole movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so after that, they go and see, past a... building that has like TVs in the front and like a video camera that's pointing out, and he's like, okay, look here, close your eyes. Ugh. And
which I think I did that at the same time that she did.
Yeah.
And but she opened hers quicker than I did.
Yeah. And so he has her close her eyes, and she opens them because he thinks it'll be fun to see her reaction as she sees herself on the screen. Of course, she starts screaming bloody murder about being trapped in the little box. Clearly, you're not. You can see yourself.
Didn't know that happened. My eyes were still closed.
Well, there you go. You couldn't hear it, though?
No, while I was sleeping.
It's fair. She goes home with him.
Yes. They go home.
Yeah.
You know, to, you know, his mom. Score, because he lives with his mom.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. And so
his mom's doing a video for a new client. And the client just happens to be the his boss.
Mr. James.
Mr. James.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he, of course, and he's awkward doing this. Like,
no, I didn't know if his character was like liked her. Like, they never established that. Like, it felt like he liked the mop.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Maybe
no,
I read that.
She was just doing business. He was just like supposed to be recording this one of those like Lonely Hearts tapes.
Okay.
Like the video dating things. So Mr. James is there making the video, his like Lonely Hearts video, when Jason walks in, and of course Mr. James covers his face and is kind of acting comedic while Jason talks to his mom about this new girl. And he ends up going and, like, ripping the tape out of his video cassette and then, like, smashing
it
against
the wall.
Well,
he realized, he's like, oh, shit, like, that's Jason's mom.
Yeah. And so he's like,
I don't want it to
this.
Get around,
right.
You know, that I'm doing
So
this.
He starts smashing the tape. trying to break it against the door jamb, which I think was like just ad-libbed funniness, or him trying to just be goofy with it.
Yeah.
Well, he does it. It doesn't break. Like, I think he thought it was going to break, and it didn't. And so he tries the bit of comedy again. It still doesn't break, but you can see a chunk of the door jamb come out.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, a chunk of the wood come out. And he goes, I'll pay for that. And part of me thinks that, like, they probably were in an actual house filming, and he just probably screwed up somebody's door jamb.
Probably.
Yeah. So, oops. And they probably did not have the budget to fix it, I'm guessing.
Probably not.
So.
But he had all those residual checks from dinosaurs.
Well, yeah, he did. Jesse stays the night, and she sleeps in his bed. He sleeps on the couch because he's a gentleman. And the next morning, she takes a big bubble bath while he's making breakfast.
Because he's a scholar.
Yeah. Because he, well, not once you see how he's making breakfast.
I know. That's why I said that.
So we have such fun bits of stuff because he's helpless, obviously, because his mom does everything. So, like, he's making eggs, which seem fine, but he's making toast and sausages in the toaster.
Yeah.
He uses a knife and cuts in half a can of orange juice concentrate,
mm-hmm.
which is enough for a big pitcher of orange juice.
Right.
But he cuts it in half and then puts the halves in two glasses.
And then puts them in the microwave.
And puts them both in the microwave.
That's not how that works.
Not how that works. Because they don't just make a thing of juice. You would have orange slush. Orange slime.
Right.
Because it's a concentrate.
Yeah.
And so, of course, he then takes them out of there, and they look like normal glasses of orange juice. But so he's talking to his mom, and she's like, you know, I don't interfere in your love life, but, you know, like, who is she? Tell me about her. And he says, she's great. And so he goes up to talk to her. Well, she's, of course, like, back in his room, and she puts on, she's like, oh, here's, you know, the necklace or whatever it is. And so she takes the necklace and puts it back on and turns into the dummy, the mannequin again.
Of course. Just in time for the mom to come up.
Of course, he's like, he drops everything on the floor because he's not going to have to clean it up. His mom is. So he's just like, oh, no, what's going on? And so he's like trying to wake her up and she doesn't. And so he's like on top of her trying to give her CPR.
Right.
And the mom walks in on him, on the mannequin. And she's like, oh, my God, what is happening? And she thinks he's, you know, having sex with a mannequin. So he ends up going back to work and has her with him. And the count demands to see the count demands to see the peasant girl. She's not there. But then Jason walks in with her and they're like, oh, there. See, one of our people had her.
Right.
And he's all bummed and depressed about it because she's not waking up. And he, you know, of course, they're like, oh, good. There she is. Well, they end up taking the necklace off of her again. And that's when Hollywood tries it on.
Yes.
And then turns into the statue.
Right.
And they had overheard a plan that about going to Bermuda. He's going to take the necklace, the count is, and he's going to run to Bermuda with the money from selling it and take the peasant girl to be his bride. Because he's tired of living in the rain that happens in their country all the time. So they take off, and she's, of course, like, oh, no, we need to get out of here. And so she and Jason are trying to run through the department store to get away from these people. Hollywood puts on the necklace, turns to the mannequin Hollywood. And we get now dummy guys come back in. And of course, they're like, don't you ever touch that necklace. And they pull it off of him.
Yeah.
He turns back and they start trying to hunt her down now.
Mm-hmm.
So now this big chase scene. They're, you know, trying to get away everywhere. They're running. I mean, it goes on forever.
Right. Don't they throw things? They're throwing things at her. Right?
Well,
the Count is?
They see her, and they're like, oh, there she is. And so, but the Count is like, they're like, find that Jason guy.
They're like destroying the department store. But they're throwing it from like a balcony.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're like, get down.
Yeah.
And like, Michelle Taylor Hollywood, he's like, I said, get down. Like, this lady walks by and says, get down. And she goes, yeah, that's right. Get down. And I laughed.
Yeah.
I actually laughed
at
that. She
goes, get down. And, like, snapped.
And I actually laughed at that.
Yeah. Well, so, they tell the Count that.
Thank you. You're a little bit above Mac and me.
They tell the Count that the girl is gone and what's happening. And so he's like, but I calculated this down to the minute of when she would come back. Well, the loophole, she fell in love with somebody in a foreign land before that, or found her true love. The weird thing is,
Huffman
too, like,
Brian Wilson leap their paths. They find loopholes all the time.
It makes it sound like, he makes it sound like, for a minute, I was like, wait, is he the descendant of the sorcerer, or
no,
is he the sorcerer?
It sounds like he's the sorcerer.
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, like later, the years have played a trick on me.
I put on a watch and I got to, like, you know, mummify or whatever.
Yeah, I kind of don't understand. I feel like they changed it midway through, but
they changed a lot midway through the movie.
But he's
you could
like,
feel that they did.
Yeah, he's like, you go get the girl, I'll stop this guy. And so he's got a crossbow, and he's shooting at him in the middle of this department store.
To get the crossbow,
I don't know if it was like in the sporting section or something, but he fires the first bolt and it like shoots between.
If only he had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles there. they hate when people steal stuff from sporting goods.
That's true, they do. And the cooking place. So he shoots the bolt and it shoots between Hollywood's legs, and he's like, that's weird, how'd that get there? And they're just very nonchalant about the fact that there's an arrow that almost shot him. And then one goes right next to Jason's head, and they're like, okay, now we should run? Okay. And so that's when they're hiding.
Right.
And people are kind of like, what's going on? And just still going about it. And then, of course, the Count is throwing pots down at them that are, like, sitting on this ledge.
Yeah.
And basically the prince or the maiden, she gets a car, hops into it,
yeah,
and takes off. I think by that time too, she'd also gotten a makeover.
Forgot about that.
She gets a makeover and new
clothes.
Yes,
because she's putting everything on his card.
Yeah, on his employee
card. On his employee card.
Yeah, so she bought him all new furniture, and she's like bought all
this
new clothes and new hair.
This is your second day.
Yeah, right.
This is day two. You're not doing good.
Yeah,
there, Jason.
And so he, they hop on a, like a little F1 racing car.
Yeah, like a match car.
Yeah, and so they're racing around, and they split up at one point. She heads to his house and manages to find her way there after
she,
being
like,
there once.
She crashes out of the department store.
Yeah.
I don't know how to stop this thing. Well, I don't know. If you're pressing one button that down and there's two buttons,
yeah,
and that one's making you go, did you try pressing the other button?
Yeah.
You're an idiot, princess.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. She magically makes it back to his house.
Well, and okay, so I think obviously
in this toy car
it makes no sense. And so somebody wrote in, or I almost feel like William Ragsdale ad-libbed it. He goes, wow, she has a great sense of direction.
Yes, I feel like they were like, we gotta, like,
yeah,
someone wrote that in, or he
yeah,
was
or
all like,
William Ragsdale's like, I gotta say something.
Yeah,
he's like, wow, she has this great sense of direction, and he goes inside. He's talking to her, and he's like, where does the furniture come from? You figure out what it is.
They're coming to get you.
Yeah,
they followed me because Hollywood is in his pink Cadillac.
Yeah.
Chasing them down too, so they
yes.
follow, you know, him down there.
Yeah. So Spretzel goes up. She's in the room. He's talking to like his mom.
Yeah.
And Spretzel goes up, and is like, "There you are," and slowly walks towards her with the necklace. but she can't, like, not get a necklace around her neck. And so he manages to turn her back to the dummy. The cops show up. They say, okay, we're going to take her back. So they take her. Of course, the mom is freaking out because the, you know, son is having sex with a mannequin.
I'm sorry, if the evil guy is coming at you with something, that's probably the thing that's causing you to be you know, a mannequin. So dodge, kick him in the balls, do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're dumb princess. You're the dumbest princess ever.
Yeah. And so...
Who's this actress? She's terrible. I can't think of her name.
Christy Swanson?
Right, I know. Yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah.
She's terrible.
And Gloria Swanson's granddaughter.
Is it really?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm just
saying things now.
Yeah. I thought she was the heir of Swanson's chicken.
It might be. That makes more sense.
We're just making shit up now.
I've seen...
I knew it was Christy Swanson. I just cannot stand her in this movie.
Yeah, no. Jesus, very awkward.
Yeah.
So he's not allowed on premises at Prince and Company. And so Hollywood, his mom,
and... They throw him in jail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. Hollywood, the mother, and Jason decide they're going to go save her. And so Jason sneaks in as a member of the press.
No, you forgot how they got him out of jail.
Oh, that's right. He's in jail.
How Hollywood dresses up as, like, Butch whatever his name.
Yeah, when as Butch Montrose.
Yes.
So Hollywood earlier, when they're getting shot at with crossbows, he said, get down, when he tells him to get down.
That. Yeah.
I know, but when he tells him to get down, and he's like, stay low to the ground and this and this. Yeah. And Jason goes, how do you know all that?
Right. Yeah.
Well, because it's, you know, obviously that's how you get out of the line of sight. Like, it's not that tough. But Hollywood goes, oh, I was in the Marines. And he's like, crawl like that. Yes. He's teaching him how to, like,
he
crawl.
Says, they needed a few good men.
Or they were looking for a few good men.
So was I.
And so was I.
Classic Hollywood.
Classic Hollywood.
Oh.
And so now he shows up to the army, or to the police station.
He thinks he's Oscar Wilde, but he's Paul Lynde.
Oh my God, he's so Paul Lynde. So he shows up in his, army dress uniform. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm Colonel Butch Montrose. And he keeps slipping in and out of his effeminate behavior or his mannerisms. And then
I've got
back.
Papers to take him.
Yeah.
Okay, he's down over
here. What's
the
name? I already told you, Butch Montrose. The prisoner. Oh, this. And so they get him. He escapes with him.
Yeah.
They sneak inside with Jason dressed as a cameraman.
The mom drives by with the pink Cadillac. So they're all three of them.
Yeah.
Are going towards the department store.
Yeah.
So, like, the mom believes him now?
Yes.
She never really saw.
At one point, Hollywood totally doesn't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
the
just
whole
like,
time, like, yeah, at the beginning of that,
Hollywood's like, that doesn't happen. Like, he tells him, that's ridiculous. And I was like, bitch. You were there. You were the best man at the fucking wedding of the first mannequin and your partner
of Andrew McCarthy
and a goddamn mannequin. And you're going, this doesn't happen.
And what kind of, like, in the department store? Like, once I get that you get a mannequin that comes to life, but twice?
Yeah, right.
What is with your mannequins coming to life?
That's where Jody and Muffy or Buffy were from in a. today's special.
It happened again?
Today's special.
Yeah, but
we're
says,
at Prince and
says,
Company.
Oh, that doesn't happen. But then he goes, he explains to him that she came to life. This happened once.
Yeah, later he goes, you're not going to believe me, but this, he goes, oh, it's happened before. Wait, you just told
you
him
just
a little
told,
bit ago
you told
that,
him that
it
this doesn't happen.
Even though you were the best man at their damn wedding.
I think you married them, didn't you?
He's their best man. I don't know. Yeah, it's very odd.
Yeah.
And so, but now everybody's on board, including the mother, who's just like, my son's having sex with a mannequin. Might as well help him rescue it. And so they go to get it. And I don't get what her, like, disguise is. It's like her with her hair up.
I think her disguise was a Jewish woman.
Yeah, that seems right. Mm-hmm. And Hollywood is doing his normal thing.
I was going to go to Brooks Brothers, but that's too busy.
So they have the presentation. They have their presentation, and it starts out this very charming, like, these women dressed up as, like, medieval mannequins, and guys dressed up as Hauptmann Koenig guards who are dancing with them. And then they dip the mannequins, or dip the women. They bring them back up, and now they're dressed, like, in funky clothes. And they're all dancing. Well, Count Spretzel does not like this presentation.
No.
And he ends up stopping it. He's like, this is stupid. I don't want this. But while that's happening, then, Jason, like, zip lines in and rescues the princess, or rescues the maiden, wakes her up. And, of course, there's all this craziness is going on. Mr. James is trying to stop Baron Spretzel, or Count Spretzel.
This is where it's like Mr. James turns into a character that I thought was going to be like bad.
Yeah.
Into like, oh, you're an okay character that is actually supporting them now.
Yeah.
So I was like, ugh.
Well, he's interested too in like his, you know, business. And so he's like, no, this is okay, this is whatever.
This business you went there before.
And Count Spretzel just punches him in the nose, and he, like, knocks him on the ground. And so he's like, oh, God, he broke my nose. And his two toadies, who now have been gone forever.
Yeah, so help
they come back for the final part of the gag. Final part of the gag.
Yeah.
They go, ow, my nose, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's a word of wisdom.
Yeah.
And then he goes, no, help me up. And they go, no, help me up.
Stupid.
Very stupid. So Count Spretzel is, he goes up to get the princess, or the maiden. They wake her up, and they take off. So I think at one point he kidnaps her. And the only way they have to get to Bermuda,
Bahama,
is a hot air balloon.
Oh, hot air balloon, yeah.
So they get on the hot air balloon and start flying away. Jason runs up, grabs the rope, and starts pulling himself up. So he's climbing this rope, going after them. He gets on the balloon, and of course, the Count is going to turn her back into a mannequin for the trip. So Jason gets up there. They fight. And he could have pushed the Count over the edge. And he goes, ah, you know what? I can't do it. I'm too good of a guy. I'm not going to do it. And the Baron's like, or the Count's like, that's great of you. I'm not a good guy, so I'm going to push you over the edge.
Yeah.
So he goes like he's going to push him. But when he does, Jesse puts the necklace on him and freezes him in place. He turns into a mannequin. And when they embrace, when Jesse and Jason finally embrace, they accidentally knock the mannequin out.
Right.
Yeah, so... Count Spretzel as a mannequin, as a creepy-ass mannequin.
That was creepy.
It was a creepy fucking mannequin. Starts falling to the ground. His mouth was like, oh? And so he looked like a freaking sex doll.
Yeah.
But he falls down. He, of course, his guys are like, oh, no, Count Spretzel, we will help you. And so they're, like, running and trying to catch him. And he just shatters on the pavement.
Yeah. It doesn't like a street cleaner come
by. Yeah. And so they're like, oh, no, Count Spretzel. And so while they're doing that and pining over him, a street sweeper comes through and just sweeps him right up. And so they chase after it. So we see Jesse and Jason later, you know, living happily ever after. and Hollywood doing his thing. And then we see Count Spretzel as a mannequin, as an enchanted mannequin that they've managed to glue back together.
Right,
and they
whatever.
Have him on display back in Hauptmann Koenig.
Yeah.
I almost said Waldorf Astoria, but then, no, it's not right. The awkward end.
And we can build this dream together. Let us stop forever.
So much Starship.
Everything should have stopped them from making this movie. All right. That's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people have thought of it. Shall we, Jeremy?
Yes.
Sassy 14 gives it a 10 out of 10.
This is a
great film. Lots of comedy, romance, and action. Meshach Taylor gives a great performance. Do you think Sassy 14 is Meshach Taylor?
I think so.
This is a great film for all ages. It's a timeless tale of two star-crossed lovers destined to be together. Meshach Taylor returns as the hilarious, sassy Hollywood mantra.
Sorry, it's definitely
Taylor. He brings an energy to every scene he's in. William Ragsdale and Christy Swanson are great as two star-crossed lovers. the movie has it all. Comedy, action, and romance. It's a sassy, funny comedy. The perfect Friday night.
It's
movie.
I got my name because I just say everything is sassy.
It's totally Meshach Taylor.
It's totally Meshach Taylor, right? Like, we're all clear on that. It's Meshach Taylor.
I couldn't get through that. Oh. All right. This is from Gridon. They gave it a 4 out of 10. Even unfunnier than the first. You know where you stand with Mannequin 2 early on when you find out that the unfunniest characters of the original has returned, and he has a bigger role to boot. The romance part of the film is still kind of sweet, but Ragsdale is no Andrew McCarthy, and Chrissy Swanson, unlike Kim Cattrall, doesn't bring any personality to her character. She's beautiful, but bland. In fact, that's the word that I most accurately sums up the movie, bland. Its comic invention extends to funny accents, homosexual gags, and chases in toy cars. If that's your sort of thing, then go for it. Now, normally, funny accents, homosexual gags, and chases in toy cars are my thing, Jeremy. Those are like the three things I look for when I watch a movie.
It's like they said homosexual gags.
how do you feel about that?
I feel like that
was harsh for the wrong reasons and not the right reasons.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They lost me at the worst character.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it is fucking Hollywood Montrose.
Right.
That is not the worst character.
So
I love Hollywood Montrose.
Shall we do our five? I don't think it's going to take us that long to do our five questions. Shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Question one. What's...
The first, what's the best part of this movie?
Best part of the movie.
Favorite part.
I think my favorite part and the best part of the movie, it's safe to say Meshach Taylor is the best part. If Meshach Taylor wasn't in this movie would be not good.
Yeah.
And it's not good anyway, but Meshach Taylor saves it. You?
I think the same thing that screws it over is the same thing that helps it a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
I hear
like some of the peripheral characters are fun and I enjoy. Like, I honestly I like Mr. James.
I do too.
They didn't do a great job with him, but I like the actor and I like the way that he portrayed it.
Yeah, wouldn't he be a better villain?
I like him better as the,
okay.
as I think like the tough,
a stern.
Yeah, like he's almost like the Michael Scott kind of a.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Where he's the mean guy, but he shows some heart sometimes. Or like, you know, like he can be tough, but he's whatever. But Meshach Taylor is hands down.
If I were going to pick other things besides Meshach Taylor, because that's the obvious choice, it would be the guy that plays Mr. James, and then also William Ragsdale probably after yeah. that. But
I don't even mind. I don't even mind the mother.
I don't even mind the mother. I don't prefer Christy Swanson.
Yeah, it's like I don't care for the main characters, and I don't care for the super peripheral characters like the security guard.
Yeah.
And the like the perfume girl. But like the mid-range ones, so like you got your you have your Hollywood Montrose, your Mr. James, and the mother. Those characters I like, where they're in it more.
It just this was not a very well written movie and no. well and not a well directed movie.
No, it wasn't.
And so you lose. You had talent there that you lost. How about that?
Agreed. Agreed. Think. Let's see. Reboot, continue, or cancel.
I'm done. I'm done with Mannequin.
Really?
Yeah, well, who's going to play Hollywood?
Oh, that's true.
You got to have a Hollywood. And if you don't
Michael B. Jordan?
Oh, Michael B. Jordan won't play Hollywood? You get that out of your head right now.
Why?
Because I don't want him to.
What if... okay. Let me say...
No.
Yeah.
No.
You couldn't see somebody like a James Rhoda playing
well,
playing
I guess
a Hollywood type character.
I guess we want to whitewash Hollywood now all of a sudden.
We can call him something else. We can call him Portland.
I'm done. I'm done with it. I say it's this killed it. This movie killed it.
Yeah.
For me. You?
Yeah, like part of me is like I don't know. Part of me like is tempted to be like reboot it.
Don't reboot it.
Part of me is tempted, but I know that it's gonna be bad. It's just gonna be bad.
Oh, it's gonna be bad. Don't reboot this.
Yeah,
leave it alone.
It's just gonna be bad. So just
put it in the nostalgia category.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is a not the this movie, but the first movie is a 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. Movie that you can just watch and just
yep.
eat popcorn and just be like, okay, that's on.
And this is a USA up all night.
And this is a should never be on.
No, it should never be. Never see the light of day.
No.
Let's see. Does this stand on its own?
That's a really good question. I think it does.
Yeah. I think it
because
too.
There's nothing else besides Meshach Taylor's Hollywood, and I'm just gonna call it Meshach Taylor's Hollywood. Besides him saying that doesn't happen, and then him saying this happened once, he doesn't really get into it.
Although you know what, if you didn't have the first movie, that line would be even better. To
yeah,
me. This happened once before.
You're like, wait,
it
what?
Happened once before.
I think it does stand on its own.
Yeah, I agree. I think yeah. so, too.
Is that weird? I love how, like, the better the sequel is, the more it relies on,
yeah.
you know, for the most part.
For the most part. Movies. There's exceptions to every rule.
Yeah, there's
but,
exceptions. But yeah.
but, yeah, I mean, we see that a lot. Does it make you want to watch the first one?
No, it makes me want to watch Mac and Me.
Ew, what?
Yeah, I love Mac and Me. I will watch it till the cows come home.
No.
Yeah, I will. Turn it on right after we get done with this podcast. We are watching Mac and Me.
Hell no.
Yeah, we are.
No, we are not.
Okay, I beg to disagree. You?
It makes me want to watch Mac and Me.
No, it doesn't. Makes you want to watch Ice Pirates.
Yeah, it makes me want to watch the 2011 version of Philadelphia Experiment. We get it. You
does
love
it make
Philadelphia.
You watch, does it make you want to watch the first one?
No.
No. Okay.
No. No, 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 no. Like, and honestly, I think this is the one I remember more for some reason.
No. I've yep. seen the other one. Because I remember the hang gliding scene and thought how funny that was. And, like, she's on the back of the motorcycle. I remember that.
Yeah.
She's, like, the mannequin.
Oh, I think it's...
I thought that was so funny when I was younger.
Honestly, like, I think I remember more from this one because it's so bad it stands out more in my mind.
Oh, I forget every time I because I've seen this a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have. Every time I start watching this, I forget about that damn Renaissance thing at the beginning.
Yeah, right.
I always forget that.
Well, the other one's ancient Egypt.
Yeah,
so it's
that's true.
So what? Sum up your experience in two words.
Oh, fuck. But how about fuck?
Fuck?
Yeah, because I pure brilliance. Pure brilliance.
Pure brilliance.
The reason why I'm saying pure brilliance is that, Jeremy, from frame to frame, from minute to minute, hey, from second to second, this movie is a joy to watch.
Yeah.
It is sassy.
Yes, yeah, sassy 14
it is,
even.
For the first time, I'm speechless and don't have two words. My two words are move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And your move on, words? I shall. Yeah. My two words are boiled weasel.
It's hard to think of two words about this because there's so much shit about this movie that I don't think you can sum it up in two words. But
ham-fisted.
Ham-fisted is good because this is a movie that was very much you feel like when you're watching it that you're like, ugh, they just did that, didn't they?
Yeah, they just took something that was a premise and they just put something new around it and just they didn't put anything new around it. No, they just wrote a long joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boiled weasel. Yep.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Right. No one wants to hear us anymore.
So
yeah.
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 What do we got going on? Because this was a listener's choice. We got a new series coming up.
We do. It is escaping me right now.
It's cartoons.
Pixar? Yeah. It's Pixar movies.
Yes.
So, okay. The Incredibles 2 is coming up.
Sure.
So, what we are going to do is we're going to have a series of movies.
Sure.
So, I think Incredibles 2 comes out on, the 20th or something around there?
I think so.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to review
a couple movies.
Like, Finding Dory.
Well, we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Cars 2.
Yeah, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the other one? I don't know.
Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2. We're not doing Monsters University because it's a prequel.
It is a prequel.
It is a
people,
prequel.
People think it's a sequel, but it's a prequel.
It's a prequel.
Yeah.
So we're skipping that one. But we're going to end it with.
Or we might end it. Well, we might not end it. We might put it in third or fourth, but we're going to do it.
It'll be third or fourth because we couldn't. It's not going to be out before that. But we're going to end up with The Incredibles 2. So we're going to watch it, and we're going to review it pretty recently. So this will be our first one that we review, like, right out the theater.
Yeah, so that's going to be a spoiler alert.
Yes, so there will be full spoiler alerts in effect when that one happens.
Yeah.
And we will make sure that we declare it as such.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
But I'm really looking forward to it because Incredibles is like one of my top 10 faves.
You're looking forward to it because you love the first movie. I'm looking forward to it because it's not Mannequin 2 on the move.
Because you're a huge Craig T. Nelson fan.
I'm a huge Craig T. Nelson fan. I love Dobber from Coach.
Right.
Oh, Craig T. Nelson?
Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson auditioned for the role that what's his face got on Modern Family.
Oh yeah,
or that, vice versa. One of them,
Where Al,
it could have switched.
Yeah,
like he was on Parenthood, and it could have switched. Yeah,
weird.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
It'd be very weird.
Yeah, I love. Is he Poltergeist?
Poltergeist. Yeah.
Craig T. Nelson is in other things as well.
Yeah, other movies.
Beverly Hills Troop Beverly Hills. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe you with your Craig T. Nelson knowledge.
You should. He's in that movie.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
So, be on the lookout for that to come up here.
It's an all Craig T. Nelson thing.
No, it's not all Craig. Okay. Nope,
we're not
it
doing
is not.
Okay, it that, is not. I've heard it both ways.
All right. No. So...
where can people find us, Jeremy?
Thank you. I was getting to that, but okay. I was choking to death for a second. People can get choking. People can find us.
You were choking on the brilliance that is Craig T. Nelson.
Correct, I am. People can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
That's how Craig T. Nelson does it.
You can also find us at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music.
Jerry Van Dyke used to listen to
it. Died, but. Now, we also are proud members of the No Phony Podcast Network.
We are.
We are. And so you can find us at nophonynetwork.com. Mm-hmm. You can find all sorts of other podcasts there.
We are on Twitter.
Well, and on the No Phony Podcast Network, you can also find them on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
We are at Deuce Podcast.
Yes.
And they are...
Tweet us your favorite Craig T. Nelson movie.
Please don't. And they are at Phony No.
Yeah, right.
But
tweet them your favorite Craig T. Nelson
please
movie.
Do that. Please tweet them your at Phony No, your favorite Craig
at
T. Nelson movies.
No, and then put your favorite Craig T. Nelson movie.
Yes, and then put hashtag deucebag. the one person who will follow that instruction.
I think I know one person that probably will.
Probably. Now there's all sorts of great shows over at the No Phony Podcast Network. Right now, the featured is Know Your Draft mm-hmm. podcast. It's great. They do kind of a draft with
right.
different topics, just like you were the sports thing. But I think this week they put out one about the letter B. And they pick different movies that start with the letter B. I think it was like action, drama, sci-fi.
Oh, they're on B? Yeah.
And so it's an interesting concept. It's really great. I love listening to it.
Yeah.
So make sure you go check them out.
Can
they're
I promote
also
a
gonna...
podcast that's not on the Phony Network podcast? It's called Half Nelson. It is where they talk about half of the IMDb roles that Craig T. Nelson.
No.
Okay.
No, you can't. You can talk about the other half Nelson, where they do the other half with a Craig T. Nelson. No, you can never speak about that. But at No Phony Podcast Network, go check them out. I mean, they have all sorts of any kind of podcast to suit you. They got it there. So I'm pretty sure that the next one that's going to be featured is Politics with Dummies. So an incredible podcast. And so make sure you go and listen to them as well. Make sure you go listen to them as well. Stop that. All right. So I think that is it for us. Thanks for bearing with us as we got through the mannequin,
too. Yeah,
this
one was a hard one. Thanks for making it hard.
Yeah.
That's what she said. And remember, the sequel is king.
Or he said.
Or he said.
Happy Pride.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love.